Good evening, everyone. Welcome to a new podcast from Radio Free Voices. Today is 21st of July 2020, and this is your host Amit Awasi, broadcasting from my home base studio in Lahore. Alright, this episode is a little special by all means. Firstly, 18th of July, world knows it as the Mandela Day, the day the great Nelson Mandela from South Africa was born. Now it is celebrated as his legacy day, which we will discuss. We will also shed light on his life, all his accomplishment, his hardship and everything. And then we have a little bonus along with this episode, which is we will be covering a very tragic event in South African apartheid history, and that is the Sharpeville massacre of 1960, 21st March 1960. That will be the last part of this episode that we will cover. So here we go. We start with the Mandela Day, and although it's 3 days after the original day, it happens with the routine and everything. Nelson Mandela. So, he was born 18th of July 1918, known all over the world as a champion of human rights, anti-apartheid, and his role toward the reconciliation efforts once he became the president. He remained the president of South Africa from 1994 till 1999. He had all the chance for the second term, or let's say till he was alive, as he is known as the father of the nation for the South Africans, but he declined it. He devoted his life to better things, and later half of his life it was all philanthropy, working against HIV/AIDS and building peace around the world. And he had his Nelson Foundation, which was working very actively. So a legacy really to be cherished. The day, the Mandela Day, it was declared in 2009 by United Nations, and the message is a very interesting message. Each individual has the power to transform the world, ability to make impact. This is the message, and the aim is to fight poverty collectively, promote peace, reconciliation and cultural diversity. This is what the day stands for, which is the legacy of the great man Nelson Mandela. So coming back to his life, initially he started as anti-colonial, and circumstances compelled him to go for anti-apartheid, which remained his mission till it wasn't achieved. That is in 1990, when the apartheid system in South Africa eventually collapsed. We will go into it. He is largely known for his service to humanity, struggle for justice, and his dedication to his cause. And as president, when he became president, he worked extensively, although it was a very short period, 1994 to 99. That was to remove institutional racism and fostering reconciliation between various ethnic and cultural group living within South Africa for a better tomorrow. This was his work. He was born, interestingly, into a Thembu royal family, that is a traditional family, and he studied law. He became a lawyer and then started practicing in Johannesburg. ANC is his mother party, that is African National Congress, and in 1943 he joined it, at that time anti-colonial. Then, as I told you, the circumstances, National Party in South Africa, all white National Party, it won the election. It just achieved the victory in the elections, just a formality. And after that, they started vigorously implementing the apartheid. And we will come to apartheid itself It's a system to ensure supremacy of minority white. We are referring to the South African perspective. And this supremacy is aimed at social, political and economical aspects. And when the laws were made to favor this unjust system, so Mandela made his cause from the ANC platform that he will fight along with his companions till it is removed, the justice is served, and this is what he did his entire life. All right, he is also referred to a man who has spent a valuable part of his life in prison, and he was arrested in 1962, various charges ranging from treason to conspiring against the government, including Red Cross for supporting or initiating guerrilla warfare activities linked to communism, and for that he stood trial, and then he spent 27 years in jail in various prisons in South Africa. And interestingly, one of the texts refers that his final arrest was made possible, and the collaboration came from Central Intelligence Agency, and they feared him to be a potential threat, being a communist, which was never proven, because once he became a president, his legacy is he continued with the liberal economy that South Africa had. So the cooperation went so far that the CIA was also aiding in his arrest. This is what I came through during his memoirs. All right. In 1990, owing to multiple reasons, but the most eminent was that the nationalist government, white government, they were unable to avoid a looming civil war and international pressure, and for that he had to be released, and then started the process of reconciliation. And in 1994, the first multiracial elections, when they were held, he won them and became the president. And his recognition, his legacy is that he has been honored with over 250 awards. I will take the notable ones: Bharat Ratna from the state of India, Nishane Pakistan, Medal of Pakistan from Pakistan. He was awarded Nobel Prize, the Lenin Peace Prize, and then Presidential Medal of Freedom. This was all incurred to Nelson Mandela for his dedicated work. And something very interesting, at his 1962 trial, when he was representing himself, he gave a 3-hour speech in his defense. And it wasn't about his defense, it was rather an elaboration of his work that he was doing, his cause. And I borrow the last paragraph of his speech, 3-hour speech. Even if I start repeating it, it will be an impossible task. We will concentrate on the last pair of his speech to show his words and his mission. Here it goes. I have dedicated my life to the struggle of the African people. I have fought against white domination, and I have fought against black domination. I have cherished the ideal of a democratic and free society in which all people will live together in harmony and with equal opportunities. It is an ideal for which I hope to live for and to see realized. But my Lord, if it needs to be, it is an ideal for which I am prepared to die. This is why the speech is famously known as "I am prepared to die." This is amongst the top ranking speeches ever made. Of course, we have excellent speeches from Martin Luther. Someday we are going to discuss him as well. Great personalities. All right. So that was towards our first part, that is the Mandela Day, and the life, the legacy of Nelson. It is very brief. We will definitely try to cover more aspects of his life in other programs. And then we move to the second part of this episode, which is the Sharpeville Massacre. Now, just to give you a brief idea, it happened on 21st March 1960. And the place of incident was a police station. Sharpeville itself is a small town. Now it is known as Gauteng in South Africa. Alright, so 1960, what happened? Prior to that, there was a very strange law which was governing the life of the African people in South Africa, and to share it with you, it was commonly known as the pass laws. Now, have you heard of passports? Usually you use them to travel from one country to another. That's a norm. Well, imagine a system where you are required, owing to your color, owing to your race, to carry a passport to move inside the country, because not all area is for you and you are restricted from certain areas, and basically it's the apartheid where you're not allowed to basically live in equality and freedom. So these were the laws, strange laws, barbaric laws, which were in place. And in some reference I came across that Cape Town,
yeah,
it had this law dating back to, I guess, towards the end of the 18th century. It was there that the Africans were to carry either a badge, metal badge, or a passport, which is sort of an internal passport which records, permits their movement into various towns, so that they are restricted to certain occupations, certain areas, like you're clubbed in a place where only mining is the option, so you will end up being a miner, your children will end up being miners, they won't be. If you control them, you can control the facilities, no schools, no facility, poverty, dissatisfaction. So that was what the past laws were. And by 1960, these restrictions were placed on the woman as well. Now that was something that became the bone of contention, and two main parties at that time. One was ANC, African National Congress, and the second was Pan-African Congress. They said enough is enough, and we are going to demonstrate for that. And then a series of demonstrations started, something pretty important I would like to mention here is that this massacre was covered by, this is why I say racism or hate. And what we come across is not born, not something which is in you. The society, the evil mind, they put that in you. And the example here is that a Britisher, not at all African colored guy, he was a photojournalist, and he basically captured this event through his work. And that became the most critical evidence which proved the innocence of the crowd which was unarmed. We'll go into that. So that's where the entire message lies, that you see, although a heinous crime, barbaric act was committed, those who made it possible to make it an example, to prove that the thing was done in an inhuman manner, they basically challenged the norm, because he was himself a Britisher, and he reported, and his evidence became the most critical thing, on which later on it was judged that it was absolutely a massacre, a cold blood murder. And here it is. So Sharpeville was established in 1958 as an African town. As I told you, the pass laws, they control the entire movement. So Sharp Valley was flocked with the Africans, and it soon became overwhelmed. There was no infrastructure, so a lot of crime, unemployment, overcrowded conditions. So it was turning into a place which was impossible for the people to live. And over that, the law in 1960, which included the woman as well, so that really triggered the entire thing. And what happened on that dreadful 21st March 1960, that this is what has been notified, that a crowd of around 5 to 10,000 locals, they went to the police station. And what was the motive? The motive was to give voluntary arrest, because it was mandatory for them to carry a passbook. And these went to the police station without any passbook and basically offered themselves to be arrested in defiance of the law, which they saw as a cruel law. All right. So at that time, initially at 10 a.m. when the event started, there were only 20 policemen who were guarding that facility, the Sharpeville police station. It was guarded by 20 or so policemen, but sensing the build-up of the crowd, reinforcement was sent. Now 130 policemen, they were armed with Sten machine gun and Lee Enfield rifles. They had four APCs, armored personal carriers, and they were sent to control a crowd which was armed with stones. This is what the account says. Although by all means it was a peaceful crowd, they were unarmed, they never had anything, but to counter them, four APCs, policemen equipped with machine gun, top line machine gun, they were sent to control them. If this is not enough, what I am going to narrate now will really, really tell you how human life was weighed at that time under these barbaric laws. Aeroplanes, F-86 Sabres and Harvard planes, they were sent and they were flying, as per certain accounts, some 100 feet above the ground. And the aim was, people, as per the most exaggerated account, armed with stones, they were flying on top of them, scaring them away, creating panic. Can you imagine a fighter jet flying 100 feet away from you? And that was done to scare them, as if they are being bombed. And quite similar to this time, the police started using tear gas to the crowd. It was a panic. They just couldn't understand what was happening. Hell was coming from the sky, tear gas coming from the police station, and in short, a panic occurred. And then around 1 a.m. they started arresting, and that really disrupted the entire crowd. And it was, one just cannot imagine how it would have been. And then the shooting started, which as per account lasted for 40 minutes. Those machine guns fired for 40 minutes on a crowd which was unarmed. At most with stones it was armed. And in 40 seconds, 69 Native Africans were killed. 8 women, 10 children. They were among the casualties. All right. In all, 180 injured. Out of that, 31 were women, 19 were children. So firstly, among the dead, those who fell for the hate that dreadful day. 8 poor women, 10 children, and in the injured we also had 31 women and 19 children. It was found later that most of the casualties and the injured, they were shot at the back, which meant that the mob was not attacking. They were on a retreat and they were shot. And even if the mob was no more marching toward the police station and they were with their back toward the police station shooting directly, what sort of rule of engagement can justify that? Apart from hate, 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 nothing can justify it. All right. So the outcry to this incident was huge, huge. It is seen as the turning point for the entire apartheid regime in South Africa, because this was resonated all across the world. Very bad examples as well, where they were hailed, these actions were hailed as something pretty justified for the regime, but they were mass protests not only in South Africa, but the world realized what sort of hate was happening out there. And then I earlier mentioned that the capture by of the event by the photographers, and that proved to be the most significant event in this thing, which proved their innocence. And his name was Enbury, a British photographer. All right. So the inquiry, pretty interesting. When the inquiry took place, it was established that the danger of stone to death was the reason why the fire was opened at a crowd which is by all means unarmed, and at most it was armed with stones. Only 3 policemen were injured in the entire episode, where 180 were seriously injured, 69 were killed. That was the magnitude of inequality. Quite similar you see these days in terms of Palestine-Israeli conflict. Every now and then it is 100 lives to 1 and justified. That truly shows one thing. There's a huge gap, disproportion. And the same was the case. Every atrocity, every massacre has certain similar footprints attached to it. Wherever you go, we discuss Srebrenica, we discuss Kashmir, and here it is. Today we have Sharpeville in front of us. Unfortunate. As a legacy, UNESCO marks every year 21st March as International Day for the Elimination of Racial Discrimination. This is what it is remembered for. And it has become a legend in the history of South Africa. It is International Day of Human Rights. A lot of work has been done in remembering it. And one, I borrow it from Farouk Aswad. Massacre at Sharpeville was his poem. And I will just narrate it for you, just to give you a feeling how it is. Even remember today, those 69 who laid down their lives, even today, it is all that blood that never went in vain. The apartheid ended, justice was achieved. What is never ideal, but whatever we have, it is credited to the sacrifice of someone in the past. So, salute to those 69, including women and children, who felt that they shouldn't have happened, but remember, their sacrifice paved the way for millions to live in peace and harmony. So the poem goes, people of Sharpeville conquered, as the soil of Sharpeville, now you have left your past behind. Now you have burnt the evil spirit that had bound you so long, now you are free. People of Sharpville, now you are bare of the armor that had restricted your movement. Around you, Sten guns and Saracens shift uneasily. Suddenly, your air is filled with fire. As it burns into your lungs and your gut shoots out, and blood oozes from your eyes, and your blood will not run dry. It flows with the strength of underground movements to sadly nourish the tree of freedom. Mighty as the Bobab, so you can rest in its shade. After the long journey, so you can eat of its fruit denied you so long, people of Sharpville. These were the words borrowed from Farooq Aswit, remembering the spirit of Sharpville. Yeah, and that's it for today's episode. And stay tuned, we will be covering more events, more insight into history, the present, and what we foresee in future. We will keep raising our voice for the free souls, freedom, fraternity, equality. And this is what this platform stands for, Radio Free Voices. Good night. See you very soon. Thank you.